This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you have a legal question, it can be about any area of law, any area of concern, really. Doesn't even have to be a legal question. I'd be glad to try to help you in any way I possibly can. And your question can be about wills, trusts, probate, trust administration, probate administration, guardianship, incapacity. Can be what to do. Suppose you have an elderly parent that needs help and doesn't really want to accept too much help. What do you do about that? So maybe you're in a circumstance at the job or next door neighbor or real estate, or if you have any type of legal question, I'm here to help and discuss it with you at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. You're listening on multiple stations all over the state of Florida. I am broadcasting today from Jacksonville this morning. And if I can help you in any way, I possibly can, I'd be glad for you to call in and ask you a question that might help a lot of other people too. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Had an interesting week this week. Lots of people came in to have updates and new documents, and I gave several speaking engagements. Had a speaking engagement this week in Riverview. Actually, my first speaking engagement this week was at Tuesday night in Largo. It was a big development called Five Towns. Got to speak to the men's club there, and had a great present, great time, room full of men, probably 60, 70 men, men's club, and they had lots of questions, and we have a little informative talk, and then we take questions just like the show, Ask an Attorney. And then the next day in Sun City Center, Hacienda Heights invited me to, in Riverview, invited me to come and talk, answer questions, and we had a great meeting there. If you need a speaker, I'm available. I'll give you more information about how to set that up a little bit later on during the show. Let's go to our first caller, though, Jay in St. Petersburg. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Doing great.
I have a friend who is extremely charitably inclined, and they're basically, they've never been married. They don't have children. They're not going to be married. And when they pass away, they want to leave their home and a trust for a charity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, several. They probably remember five or six charities ongoing right now.
Right.
So I was saying to them, actually, it's probably a two-part question, is how would you structure that? Number two is, I said, to me, I've heard several people speak about this in the industry, and they said, in most cases, a charity probably would want an outright distribution as opposed to you putting in a trust and you doling it out in a small parcel rather than pick two or three of your mm-hmm. favorites and just let it go outright so that they really benefit. How do you feel about that?
Well, my thought is the client should be able to leave his estate any way he wants to. So if he wants the charity to have it over a period of years, we easily can put that language into a trust.
Okay.
And it's totally not what the charity wants. It's what you want, my client wants. You know, we can structure it in any way he wants, then we create a trust, and he can change the trust anytime he wants to. Even if he wanted to change who the charity was, it could be changed.
Okay.
And a home would be easier for, now, people without children. Sometimes it's easy for them to put off doing their estate planning.
Right.
But a trust, and sometimes they don't see the need for a trust because, you know, they some attitudes are, well, I'm deceased. What does it matter then how it's distributed out?
Right.
But the benefit of a trust is that everything in the trust can be used for his benefit during his lifetime, even if he's incapacitated.
Correct.
And then the language that that he wants on how he wants to give it to the charity can be put in there. So if he wants to give it to the charity over 10-year stretch, that's fine. Then the charity is going to be grateful and thankful, hopefully, every time they get a check, you know, once a year for 10 years.
Right.
And he can also direct it for a particular purpose. I mean, the purpose mm-hmm. could be to be used for a building fund. It could be used to help these missionaries that he's already supports. It could be for a new program of some type. You know, the person can really create a trust to do whatever they want to do and have it distributed in any way they want, and
right.
it should be totally what they want.
If their assets are in a self-debt trust, for example, and the language in the trust and the context of the trust is to direct the home to a charity, are there tax implications for that?
Well,
or is that avoided in probate as well?
Yeah, no, you can create a trust, put the home in the trust, and you can have the home distributed to the charity of your choice. And this real estate gets a stepped-up cost basis at time of death,
mm-hmm.
so there's no tax implications anyway. And okay. when you give directly to a charity, there are really no tax implications.
Okay. So the stepped-up and cost basis is given even when it's not a spouse. It's anybody.
A stepped-up cost basis happens on real estate and stocks, for example.
Okay.
So,
excellent.
Since we're talking about this, and thanks, this is a great first question. I get to fly to Memphis, Tennessee in April and present a $1.3 million check to the Shriners,
wow.
the Children's Hospital.
That's an awesome, awesome charity. It really is.
And that's all part of a golf tournament that'll be. So I get to go to this little ceremony they're planning. They wanted me to come to present the check. And then that'll be, I guess, playing on national television in June when the golf tournament actually takes place.
What a great opportunity.
Yeah, so that's exciting. That's the biggest check of I love to, when people give money to charities, local charities like hospice groups or churches, I love to present the check myself in person. I mean, a lot of times it's not a big event like this will be. But, you know, and if I get to do it in a church in front of an audience, then it gives them the idea maybe they should do the same thing to help their church. So it's a great pleasure for me to be able to, people that really want to give to charities, I love presenting the check directly to the charity. It just gives you a good feeling for everyone. So
that's tremendous. Well, I really appreciate your help. That's
all right.
Very insightful.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Debbie in Seminole.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, Debbie. How are you?
Good. Question. I have a will, and I'm married, and my husband does not. I have, like, a living trust will. If we were both to die at the same time, would that hold up my will being distributed?
Yeah, well, if you both die at the same time, if you own everything jointly with right of survivorship, the only problem would be if he had assets just in his individual name. And then that would have to
all
go
right.
through probate. But if you're deceased, then there's some question about who died first, perhaps. And then y'all have common children between the two of you?
No, I have children, though, which is why I have the will.
And does your will leave everything to your husband?
Yes. Well, no. Half and half. Half to him, half to the children.
All right. Well, it'd be a little complication if he died in an airplane crash at the same moment, and the time of death was a little bit hard to
correct.
Establish.
Okay.
You could put a provision in your will that if you die instantaneously at the same time, that he would be presumed to have died before you, and the estate would be distributed to your children.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
And then if y'all,
I'm waiting for it to make his will, but
yeah. Well, then yeah, if y'all own a lot of assets jointly, you could do a joint trust, and then there'd be a common distribution anyway. Does he have children from his first marriage?
No, he was not married before.
Okay.
No children.
Well, if y'all had a joint trust, the distribution would be to your children, and if you both died at the same time, that would happen anyway. So that might probably be a good plan for you.
Okay, sounds great. I appreciate your help.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Phone lines are open if you have a question. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And let's go to Josephine. Hey, Josephine.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Florida.
What city, what location, though, what area? Tampa, St. Pete?
Hillsborough County.
Okay, Tampa. All right, thanks. What can I do for you? What can I do for you?
Yeah, I was wondering about having cash in a safe deposit box.
Yes, what about it?
What's the law on that? If you have the key to the box and you just...
Well, who's the owner of the box?
I see. Who's the owner of the box?
Right. See, if you were the owner of the box and you had cash in your safe deposit box, then that cash would be in your estate. If you made somebody an authorized signatory to be able to get into the box that had a key, then you're still the owner, and then that cash would be in your estate. So if you have a will that leaves your real and personal property to whoever, then they would still be entitled to it, because that if you own the box, the cash would be in your estate.
You have to have a will.
Well, you should. If you don't have one, you sign yourself. The state of Florida makes one for you.
I'll have to find out if they have a will. What happens if you don't have a will? And you just
Well, the state makes a will for you. It's called a statutory will. So it depends on if she's married and if she has children, and a lot of factors like that is determines who would get what.
I didn't know. I didn't think it was a good idea to keep cash in a safe deposit box, but
you know, a lot of people do. And just to tell you a little story, this week I was helping someone in Haines City, in Polk County, where we have a couple of offices. Person came in and she had been named the personal representative of her boyfriend's will.
Oh boy.
And she came in with a safe deposit box key because she was an authorized signatory, and she says, I think there's a lot of cash. She wasn't a beneficiary actually of the will. She came in and said, I'm going to open my friend's safe deposit box today, and I would like for you to be with me because I think there's some money in the box, and I'd like you to be with me as a witness as to counting the money, because I don't want to be accused of taking money, and you know, you'd be a good person to be a witness to help me count and so forth. So we got
bank person.
Yeah, it was at a bank. Uh huh.
Oh, the bank person.
No, it wasn't a bank person that was telling me this. It was the personal representative named in the will, but the safe deposit box, of course, was in a bank. So we had a banker. I went in with her.
She signed
to get the box. Well, she had authority to, because she was an authorized signatory. Uh-huh. We took the box back to my office and we counted the money and we opened it. It was $50,500 that we had to count out. They were mostly, I would say 80% of that was in $100 bills and the rest was in $50 bills.
Wow.
So we sat there and counted all this money. And so a lot of people do keep cash in a safe deposit box.
Oh, boy.
All right. Josephine, I hope that helped you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right.
Let's go to Brenda in Georgia. Hey,
Hello.
Brenda. Yeah, what part of Georgia are you from or calling from?
Atlanta.
Okay. And how are you listening to the show? On your computer?
Yes.
Okay, what can I do for you?
My mom recently passed, and there is no will. There is a home, a car, and a bank account involved between five children,
mm-hmm.
and the family has split.
Is she a Florida resident?
Georgia.
Okay, well, I'm going to answer this question from what I know. I'm licensed in Florida, not Georgia. So I just want you to keep that in mind during the answer. I'm not familiar with all the Florida statute or all the Georgia statutes on probate and so forth. So you're probably going to need a Georgia attorney, but I would love to talk to you generally about your question. It's just I'm going to give you the answer as if she were a Florida resident.
Okay.
All right. So go ahead.
I don't know where to start. I know I keep hearing probate, but I'm not sure how that works, where to start, what are, you know, everybody's rights, because the family has split. So they're not coming together to discuss anything or come to agreements with anything.
All right, so there are five children?
Yes.
And no will. So in Florida, the answer to that would be if three of you can consent and approve of one of the three of you being appointed as the personal representative, the majority of the beneficiaries can all sign a piece of paper and ask the court to appoint that person. And in Florida, that usually works.
So only three have to agree, the other two would
be? The majority. So the three would be 60%. That would be enough to get somebody appointed.
Appointed as
the executive? Personal representative executor of the estate, yes.
Okay. And decisions would be made then by that person?
Yes, that person will be in charge of collecting the assets, paying the bills, and making the final distribution. In Florida, if your mom was not married at the time, it would go equally to her five children.
Okay. Okay, so everybody will be included with the distribution.
Yes, but only, you know, one person should be appointed to be in charge.
I got it.
And in Florida, if we couldn't get the majority consent, then you can go to the court and ask them to appoint an independent person.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because, like I say, the family has split.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that everybody is going to be included with whatever is distributed and not.
Yeah, no, well, no matter what, it should be five equal shares.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida Law. I should have asked her how she became aware of the show, because every other week, not today, but next week would be, we do Facebook Live. So we have a professional camera, social media person come into the studio and film, connect to my Facebook pages. We've got three different pages there. Connect all of those and do Facebook Live, and we get questions from the Facebook audience as well. Let's go to Tim in Tampa.
Good morning, Mr. Pippin. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I bet you. My question has to do with, I have a corporation, it's a C-Corp, and the C-Corporation owns a franchise. And I'm wondering about, I don't personally take a large amount of income out of the business, but if I wanted to purchase a home, what I'm trying to get to is putting my business in a trust or some way, and then directing it. But is there a way for me to do that and also take advantage of the income that the corporation shows? And also, a concern of mine has to do with right of survivorship.
Well, you could create a trust and put your C corporation into the trust, and then you can have the distribution of the trust do whatever you want to do. As far as buying a home inside the corporation, I'd probably advise against that. You should probably take the money and keep the business strictly for a business purpose. The homestead in Florida owned by you individually is not subject to creditor claims. So there'd be no reason to have a homestead inside a trust. I mean, inside of a C corporation. It would be in the trust, but not part of the C corporation. So one trust can have your homestead in it and can also have any interest you have in the C corporation in it. And you can direct the distribution of those assets when you die any way you want to.
So two separate trusts.
It could be two separate trusts, or one trust can hold both of those assets.
Gotcha. Because what I'd like to do, and maybe it involves changing from a C corp to an S corp, but somehow for me to be able to personally identify the assets or the income from the corporation in order to help me qualify income wise for a mortgage. not that the trust would own the house, but just that I would own the house, but that I could somehow use those reflect those assets as my income.
Were you 100% owner of your corporation?
I am.
Well, I'm sure in a financial statement you could show that is income that you have access to and are entitled to and could be used to put down on the mortgage application to get the mortgage. I'm sure all that can be worked out to your benefit from, you know, everything you've told me.
So I could, so I should contact your office in order to discuss about that.
Hey, I would love to help you. So yes, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Look forward to meeting you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Been practicing since 1981 in Florida. We've helped over 46,000 people with wills and trusts in real estate dealings and family law. A lot of practice areas we have. We have 7 attorneys, 20 office locations around Florida. If you'd like to contact our office, we don't charge anything to review documents and have a discussion with you about your options, particularly in estate planning. The toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. We do have offices in Jacksonville is one of our locations. And let's go to Eric in Jacksonville. Hey, Eric.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Spinning the dial this morning and discovered your show. I am almost 70 years old without relatives and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I own my home. I'm on Medicare, Medicaid. Mm-hmm. I do not have an executor, and I don't have a will. What prevents an executor, if I was to have one, from just pocketing heirlooms themselves? I mean, who oversees the executor? Is any state of Florida overseeing the distribution of assets? How do you prevent, let's say you leave it to a charity, what prevents collusion? Help me.
Well, okay, so you don't have family or friends you'd want to appoint in charge?
I don't have.
You own your own home. You said Medicaid, so are you on just Medicare?
I'm on Medicare and Medicaid. It's called a dual enrollee. I live at the poverty level on Social Security only, but I own my home, and it's a significant piece of real estate.
Okay. So one choice would be to have a corporate trustee or an attorney or a CPA or some professional person that would be in charge of your estate upon death. We serve in that role all the time for people. As in when they don't have a personal representative family member they want to choose, then they have a choice of choosing either a professional or a corporate trustee. And then that person would be in charge of protecting your estate and making a distribution of it according to your instructions. And if they did anything other than that, they could lose their license and possibly go to jail if they took any self-benefit they weren't entitled to on the estate.
Well, that happens, and
that happens at any level. I mean, there are no perfect people in the world. So you have to come, maybe interview several attorneys or CPAs or other professional people you're associated with, and find somebody you know, think you can trust.
That's
well, I mean, if you have a substantial home, you know, I love helping charities. So, I mean, if you left everything to a charity, you could go to that charity and ask them who they work with and who they trust and who they would recommend to be the trustee.
And if you did have an attorney as an executor and they die first, and then what happens?
Well, when I do documents where the person wants me to serve, then I have my backup successor is named as my successor for your benefit if I die before you do.
So that precludes working with a sole proprietor?
That precludes, well, I'm not sure of your question. So if I died, if you name me and I died before you, I have a successor from my firm that I would be very capable of doing the same thing.
I understand that, but what if I'm dealing with a sole proprietor, attorney, one individual,
oh.
and he dies first. Then I have to go through the whole process all over again?
Well, maybe you ask that attorney who they can name as a backup. I mean, all of our documents have one or two backups. So I basically won't do a document unless you have good planning on a successor. If the charity is no longer in existence, we name another charity. If your personal representative trustee is no longer living, then you have a backup.
Is the state of Florida involved at all in any manner to oversee these processes?
Well, if you just had a will and died and left your estate home to a charity, you had a will, that would go through probate. But then the court supervises the probate proceeding. I mean, I have a biggest book. One of my law books is the procedures on how to open and close an estate through probate. And that's why it's so expensive to go through probate. But if you wanted supervision of your estate through the probate system, then we just do a will and have it go through probate. If you trust the trustee that you have selected and a backup, then we could avoid probate by putting it into a trust. But that's just a personal choice.
And if you do die intestate, to what extent does the state of Florida attempt to find relatives?
Well, whoever then interested party would be could start a probate proceeding. Now, do you have brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews? Do you have anybody in the bloodline?
I have one, a couple of cousins, long estranged, and I have a nephew estranged, and that's it.
Okay.
No brother. Everybody.
Well,
else?
Let's just say the nephew found out about your death. The nephew could go to an attorney, do a petition, have the nephew appointed as the personal representative, and wind up with everything.
Uh-huh.
So that's why it's important, if you don't want that to happen, that you have some kind of plan in place, whether it be a will or a trust.
Well, that's why I need to call you Monday.
All right.
Thank you for the service.
Yeah, I'm in. You're calling from where? You're calling from Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Hey, during the show, I'll give out my cell number, actually. If you want to call me this weekend, I am in Jacksonville this weekend. I'd be glad to talk to you privately.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Annie in Haines City.
Hello.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, what station are you listening to?
90.3.
All right. I'm going to be helping them this coming Friday on the telethon they're going to be having. Uh-huh. Actually, I was initially involved in the first start of the telethon many years ago, but I've come every year to help them during the telethon week. So from 8 to 9 on Friday morning, I'll be there in the Haines City radio station helping them crank up Friday, the Friday morning of the telethon. Just to let you know, since you're from Haines City.
I just wondered, does Florida have any common laws, like two people live, like a man and woman live together for a while? Well, is there a common law that they're legally married?
No, there's no common law marriage in Florida.
Okay.
So if you do get married, though, there are spousal rights that come into play, but there's no common law marriage in Florida.
Okay. And if you have the automobiles and bank accounts and everything in each other's names and you die, can any of the children come back and want some of that before the other person dies?
Jointly held assets automatically go to the survivor.
Okay.
Children can try to do things, but they wouldn't be successful if it's jointly held with right of survivorship.
Well, that's what I've been told, but I want to make sure.
Yeah, the only way they could possibly contest if you used a power of attorney to put them in your name or you unduly influenced him somehow or another to own things jointly. But that's pretty rare in that circumstance. If it's been that way for a long time, you're probably safe.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give out the numbers. For you to call 877-943-9673. Let's go to Cliff in Clearwater. Hey, Cliff.
Hi. My mother's 90 years old. She has dementia. She fell numerous times in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a nursing home, the rehab part of Morton Plant.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, my sister, who is a nurse practitioner, we got her home December 22nd to be at Christmas because she was shut down at the nursing home. She wouldn't eat, and she was sleeping and basically losing weight, and it didn't look good. So we brought her home for Christmas. Okay. She's married to a man, not my father, who is 85 and has an extensive criminal background. Sex, drugs,
now, guns. How long have they been married?
Roughly 10 years, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. As I come into the home to provide daily care, because this man can't do nothing or won't do nothing for my mother, feed her, dress her, make sure she's clean, I notice a lot of abuse going on, like throwing food at her, threatening her, all this stuff. Well, anyways, we got into some pretty heated discussions, and he called the police on me. The police came, and there was an active warrant for this man. He used to have a motorhome. I guess he still has it, and he's drove it numerous times with these Mississippi plates on it, and he's got a whole bunch of aggravated unlicensed operations from 3-4 DWIs. Well, anyways, he's had a bunch of unlicensed gun possession because he's a convicted felon. Well, the cops took one gun that he had in his pocket that I didn't even know he had it, and he claimed that he has three more guns. They took this gun away from him. They checked his room, which he does stay at this house at times. He comes and goes, and he might be gone a week. He might be gone a month. He might stay there every day. They took one gun away from him, and I talked to the cop. And my background is, you know, squeaky clean. There's no criminal record, no nothing. And I said to him, I said, how come you guys don't arrest this man? He's got an active warrant. He's got four pages of criminality. You know, he's abusive. Something's going to happen here. And they said it would cost too much money, and he's an old man, and he'd probably die in jail. Well, now, where do I go from this? I tried to get the police records. Of course, they told me it could take 6 months before I can get this record from Clearwater Police Department.
So I think my advice would be to report this to the Department of Children and Family.
I already did to elder abuse. They said they won't do nothing until something happens. In other words, I got to get shot, or my mother's got to get a broken arm or something.
You know, that's the same exact thing about the warning about the school shooting here recently.
Exactly. This is playing exactly into it. And then and I don't even know this man. It's Mr. Slaughter, the captain. He's saying, you know, repetitive violations. He's got a special task group that he's going after these people. And that's my case exactly. Exactly. Here's a guy that's got four pages of criminality, everything from pedophilia to guns to drugs and everything, and he's got an active warrant, and the police won't do nothing. So what do I do?
Go to your local representative.
Who?
Congressional representative.
I'm a New York State resident. I quit my state job and come down here to take care of my mother. I want to go home, and if you know, I mean, it's a sad situation. I'm trying to keep her in her own house because she's going to die in a nursing home. She shuts down. She's a difficult woman, but she deserves to live in her own house.
Yeah, why don't you call me Monday morning and I'll figure out who your local representative is that you can...
I could probably... I mean, in Florida, I'm not going to have anybody because I don't vote in Florida.
No. You have a... A problem with a resident of their congressional seat.
The police did tell me that they were going to send a report to, like, the DA and have them look at that. But, I mean, something seriously could happen in that point. And this guy still has two guns that he allegedly told the cops that they didn't...
Let me ask you this. You said he throws food at her. Has he ever hit her? Or abuse her physically in any way?
Not since I've been there. I mean, I wouldn't allow it. He threw food.
Can your mother talk about it?
There's already been a battery charge that I've seen from records.
Toward her?
Yes, with her battery.
Well,
I don't know.
All right, she might be able to get an attorney to get an injunction about him even being in the house.
Well, that's the best news I've heard yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure this exists with other people, because I've worked in nursing homes and I worked at a developmental center. You know, some people get really miserable. My mother can be very difficult, but I mean, it's my mother,
right,
and I'm going
to
take care of her.
Listen, call the Clearwater Bar Association.
Okay.
Tell them you have an emergency situation where you need an attorney on their recommended list that can get an injunction concerning your mother's husband, and tell him he has warrants and abuse is an issue, and you want to get an injunction to get him out of the house.
It really seems strange. It's like a sanctioned city for elder people to commit crimes. I mean,
yeah.
Is that the way it is here in Florida? Once I get 85, I can pretty much do anything I want to do?
No, I don't think it's generally that way. I think if you call the Clearwater Bar and ask for an attorney, I think you may be able to get an injunction to get him out of the house.
An injunction, okay, but call your office and get help if I can't?
Yeah, I'll try to figure out something else for you if I can.
But I mean, I'm sure other people have been in, you know, some situations like this, and I just spinning my wheels.
Actually, the right terminology would be a restraining order.
Restraining order, Okay.
All right, Cliff. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for taking
my
call.
Thank you. No problem. Let's go to Margaret in Lake Wales. Hey,
hi.
Margaret.
Hello.
What can we do for you today?
Well, let me turn it down. I have a question about a will.
Mm-hmm.
I have a will, but it isn't from an attorney. It's I have had it all made out, had it notarized, and have three witnesses. Is that legal in Florida?
Is it notarized?
Yes, it's notarized.
Well, you know, I can't really answer that question without really looking at the will to see if the words in there are going to do what you want to do. And generally, when I see, did you get this online?
No, I got it at a place over in Winter Haven. A print shop.
Wheels. See, there are so many of those types of wills and forms and wills online. I really review them most of the time when I'm talking to people. And I would be glad to review that with you and not charge you anything, but I can't really just answer if it's valid without looking at it. And
okay.
A lot of times people do those, and I find something and tell them what would happen because of the language in the will that they just signed, and they didn't really realize that, and then we wind up...
Well, I'm not going to have no property or no car or no house. You know, it's not going to be anything that they're going to fight over, and there's not a whole lot of money left, so...
There's not a whole lot of money left? How's the money titled? Just your name, or...?
It's an insurance. It's an insurance policy.
All right. Does the insurance have a beneficiary on it?
Yes.
Well, see, the will wouldn't even control that. That would be controlled by who you named as a beneficiary.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what else you have that you're concerned about. You have no real estate, so that's not an issue.
No real estate.
You have a checking account?
But there isn't going to be a whole lot of money.
Yeah, how is that titled?
Just me, and then I have a beneficiary on that.
Okay, well, there you go. The two things you've told me don't even go through probate or wouldn't be controlled by your will.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So everything's okay?
Well, I'd be glad to look at it for you and tell you if it'd be valid. But All right,
I'll get a hold of you.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, you have about 12 minutes left in the show. Give us a call. I'd love to talk to you. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you'd like our free estate planning, we've had lots of calls about estate planning today. If you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a full-size poster sheet. 5 articles about estate planning, various things about estate planning, the 3 options in that you all have, which one's the best, you can read about that. There's a chart on the cost of probate. That might be a shocker to you. There's a little diagram of trust is one of the options and how they work. And on the other side of the poster sheet, all of our office locations around Florida, 20 office locations, We have all of the attorneys that work for the firm listed there. We have our website information and radio show information all on the backside of the poster sheet. If you'd like that, I would love to send it to you. We mail it to you because it's online, but you probably couldn't print it all out. And you have a much better a piece to look at if we just mail it to you. So if you'd like it, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your request, 727. Oh, you can email me, I'm sorry. Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P. com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. You can text me. And if you have an urgent need to call me this weekend, except for Eric, I told Eric he could call me, but my text number, 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. All right, so phone lines are open again. So 877 is the number you can call the show, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Judy from Anna Maria Island. Hey, Judy.
Hey, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can we do for you?
My question is there a dollar amount that you would recommend someone create a trust as opposed to strictly a standard will?
Well, let me tell you this. There are three levels of probate in Florida. There's without under $6,000 where, like, the checking account would pay for the funeral bill. That's called without disposition. There's a probate procedure called summary administration that might be available between $6,000 and $75,000. And there's formal probate on anything over $75,000. So even at the summary probate level, somewhere between $6,000 and $75,000, our minimum fee is $2,500. Plus there's $600 or so in costs. So you're over $3,000 to probate a will with less than $75,000 in it. A trust, on the other hand, are you single or married?
Married.
Okay. So if we did a joint trust package, that would include the trust, two wills, two power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, and deed in your residence into the trust. The fee is
$795.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you're better. And if you just did two wills, two power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, and two living wills, the fee there is $620, but you'd have probate. So you can spend a little bit more, not that much more, so $175 more to avoid probate with a living trust.
Uh-huh. And if a good portion of your monetary value is tied up in annuities, does that make any difference?
No, because you still probably have enough to do a trust, even if it's a smaller amount. Like, what's the value of your home?
About $400,000.
Yeah. So, see, we would do a trust and put your home in the trust and advise you to put your checking account in the trust, savings, CDs, money market, anything like you have like that. The annuities probably wouldn't go in the trust if you're going to do an outright distribution to, you know, your husband and wife and then directly to the children. So an annuity wouldn't go through probate, but everything else you have could possibly go in, and I think it would be worth it.
Okay, sounds interesting. If you would give your number out one more time, I want to jot it down for contacting you.
Yeah, I'll give you the 800 number. It's 1-800-226-3529.
3529. Thanks so much.
All right.
You have a great day.
All right. And again, that's 1-800 for if you want a poster sheet or you want to call and make an appointment, it's 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, and we have about 7 minutes left in the show. Phone lines are open again at 877-943-9673. Be more than glad to answer another question or two if you have one, and be glad to help you out in any way I can. You know, I have people all the time call me, and even the two seminars I spoke at this week. And by the way, that's the number you can call if you want me to come speak to your group. There's no fee for that. I do lots of church groups. I do lots of, like this week I had a men's group at night, went in doing a presentation. Hacienda Heights is a big mobile home park community with a big, big clubhouse. Went in and did a presentation there. Have an upcoming presentation at Sola Vida, which is in Polk County. It's a private gated community with a big fitness center and clubhouse. No matter where it is, AARP, I think this Monday, this coming Monday, I have a NARP group, National Federal Retired Groups, I'm speaking at lunch. Need a speaker? Give us a call, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Also, in the next few weeks, I'm having seminars with a financial advisor in the St. Pete, Tampa area. And we have some seminars coming up at Ruth Chris. So looking forward to that. You can all call the number if you're interested in any of that. So I'll be glad to meet with you or have you have come to your group. Let's go to Mrs. Hall from Sarasota.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I enjoy your show, and I think it's a great service for people out there.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy doing it.
I have a will, and I suddenly got this terrible feeling, because I didn't, of course, read it this morning. I don't recall my real estate being mentioned. In other words, I have one child.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, bank accounts I put in trust for on them.
Ma'am, I'm almost positive. You have an attorney do the will?
Yes.
There's a clause in there that says all of my real and personal property.
Okay.
And that covers it.
And that covers it. Okay, so if he came in, it would automatically go to him.
Well, not automatically. If you have a will, it's going to go through probate.
Well, does it, what is the dollar amount in the state of Florida for it to go to probate?
All right, well, I just went through that. There's three levels of probate. There's under $6,000, from $6,000 to $75,000. And over $75,000.
Gotcha.
But okay. If you're over $6,000, our minimum fee for a probate is like $2,500.
Right.
And there's a $600 or so court cost and all the other costs that are associated with out-of-pocket costs with probate.
Well, this brings up a new question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Say I want the estate to avoid probate.
And one way is to do a living trust.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the highest percentage of my clients doing estate planning do trust to avoid probate.
Okay. Or could I deed the property out from myself to myself and my son and record that, and the property would automatically go to him?
You're talking about a ladybird deed or a life estate deed?
Yes, or a quick claim deed where I deed out my interest to myself and my son.
No, I wouldn't put his name on it now, because then you lose part of your homestead protection. You lose part of the advantage of the step-up cost basis.
Okay.
And it would be better, I think, my advice to most clients that ask that question is just do you want to avoid probate, just do a living trust, maintain 100% of the homestead, maintain 100% of the cost basis, and have it go probate-free to him upon death through a trust.
Is that complicated and costly to do the living trust?
No. If you're single?
Yeah.
Widow, it's $695.
Oh, okay.
We have an office in Lakewood Ranch, by the way.
Oh, do you?
Yes,
very
ma'am.
Very good.
All right.
Okay, dear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Jerry calling from Winter Haven.
Hello.
Hey Jerry.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a senior citizen. I've just been here a few months, and I'd had this problem up north in New York, and it was resolved quite peacefully, and now I have it down here. I live in one of these senior citizen communities, you know, the trailers and the carports and all that kind of stuff. And right next door, there is a couple who loves to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And they set out on their carport and we'll smoke, and, you know, if the wind's going right, go where it goes. And you know how these trailer units are.
Hey,
pretty poor.
Jerry, I can tell you, it's not hardly anything you can do about a next-door neighbor smoking.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind her smoking.
Jerry, hear that music? My time is up. I'd be glad to talk to you off the air, though. But thanks for calling. All right. If you'd like to contact our office, you have a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. You have a great, great weekend. So long.